Welcome back, everybody. Here we go on this Thursday edition of the program. 2.5 with you on a busy day as we approach the middle of April. Go figure. Wow, where is this? Where's the year going? Where has it gone, 2023? We're already 3.5 months in. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you want to know something? It's just going to get crazier from here. You know that. It really is, but hey, that's the way we like it. That's exactly the way we like it. Along with Adrian Broaddus, I'm Steve Kaplowitz. Welcome back to the show. We continue here on Sports Talk. All right, I think I'm going to watch a little baseball tonight. I think that's going to be the plan. We'll get, I don't know who's coming up. It's at 5 o'clock. I guess we'll find out, right, Adrian? I mean, the beautiful thing about the MLB channel is they just say regional coverage. That could mean anything when it comes to regional coverage.
I also like the live look-in on the MLB channel. I mean, they do a lot of great whip-arounds, just kind of like NBA TV does as well. But you got Phillies-Reds coming up at 4:40, and then 5 o'clock you got Twins-Yankees. So maybe we get a little bit of that.
I'll look forward to seeing which one we get. You're right. There are some interesting games. By the way, you know, we don't have any NBA games now until Bulls Heat tomorrow and Thunder T-Wolves. But last night, as Adrian predicted here on this same radio show before we went into the doubleheader, he thought Thunder would get by the Pelicans, and that is exactly what happened. And by the way, the fun part about basketball is you sometimes get to see players that are not necessarily household names shine in big games. Like last night, Josh Giddey, all right? That is the perfect example. Averaged 16.5 points per game this regular season. And to be honest with you, Josh Giddey had a terrific season. But understand, this is his first year in the pros. He is a 20-year-old shooting guard. He's 6'8". And last night, he exploded for 31 points and could not be stopped. And really, one of the great storylines in this game, he almost had a triple-double. Josh Giddey scored 31, 9 boards, 10 assists. And while people watching this game, if you don't watch the Thunder, you're probably trying to understand who is this guy. Adrian, he was a major factor last night, along with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who was, again, terrific during the regular season. He's only 24. He was terrific last night. He scored 32 points. And Oklahoma City was able to get past the Pels 123-118 to eliminate New Orleans right out of the postseason. And if I'm a Pelicans fan, I would absolutely hope that that organization trade Zion Williamson this offseason.
Oh, man, off the top rope.
Right.
Wow.
You want to know why?
Oh, my goodness, why?
What good is he if you can't even have him in a must-win playoff game? What good is it? What good? He hasn't been healthy. Again, same situation last night. They're in a do-or-die game to try to get into the playoffs, and he's in street clothes. He's always in street clothes. He's never healthy. So if that's the case, why hold on to him? What's the point of having a unicorn if the unicorn can never get on the court?
Okay, I'm losing a lot in my defense for Zion Williamson. I felt like before he was even drafted to the Pelicans, I just wanted to be on the Zion Williamson train because of everything he did at Duke, what kind of prospect he was going into the NBA, and all the excitement he had around him. I'm going to go on record to say I'm still not giving up on him. I would like to reference Joel Embiid. In his first 3 years, he hardly played, Steve. He really struggled to get healthy early on in his career. And look at Joel Embiid right now. He's an MVP. Mm-hmm. When Zion is healthy, he is a top 10 player in this league. And the emphasis is when he's healthy, and he's never healthy, at least early on in his career. What Zion needs to realize is he's got to commit to being healthy. He's got to lose weight. He's got to commit to having a nutrition nutrition nutritionist around him and helping him out so he doesn't have to play himself back into shape after each offseason. There's a lot of things that he needs to do effort-wise in order to change his habits so he could be a better player. And I look at some of the other young players across the league. Luka Doncic is a great example. He came in a little heavier this season, had to lose weight and play himself into shape. Some of those young guys, they let the money and the fame and everything get to their head early on, so they've got to change themselves and dedicate a lot to the game in order to actually be successful in this sport.
He played 24 games as a rookie, 61 last season, 29 this season, okay? So, and I'll say this, because he averaged 26 per game this season and 27 last season, he will probably never have more trade value because he's only 22 years old, and when he plays, he's dominant than he does right now. So if you're New Orleans, okay, and you realized that that hamstring injury, you know, was what really left him out and cost you an opportunity to try to win this game and advance at least into a do-or-die game, I just say to yourself, you know, it's kind of like the Mets and DeGrom. When DeGrom was healthy, he was great. He's never healthy. So you know what? When it came down to paying him a fortune or letting him go, they let him walk to Texas. And the Mets, you know, I think they made the right decision. And he's old. You know, Jake DeGrom is past 30 already, which in baseball, you know, it's you're already halfway into your career. Zion's a young kid, which means he probably would still bring a king's ransom if New Orleans shopped him. So I'm just telling you, you know, there comes a time when you just say to yourself, yeah, he's the franchise, but what good is the franchise if he's never on the court? And that's kind of the situation I think the Pelicans are going to have to deal with this offseason and look really long and hard about you know, Zion and understand, are they willing to wait to see if he can get healthy and blossom into the player that, as you mentioned, a Joel Embiid is right now?
Yeah, and it's still going to take a lot. It's going to have to take him actually playing a full season healthy in order for us to believe that he can do this. You know, some early trade targets, ideas for somebody like Zion Williamson. Miami Heat have to blow it up. I mean, we talked about some early play-in scenarios and the Bulls and what they were able to do yesterday in that victory against the Heat. I have some serious question marks about Miami, and they might need to hit a hard reset. Versus New Orleans, it feels like they're just one or two pieces away from being a legit contender in the Western Conference. And then you always have to look at your New York Knicks, yep, Steve, as a potential landing spot for Zion Williamson. It seems like they've flirted with him ever since he came out of Duke.
Now, let me say this. I'm looking at Joel Embiid because you compared him. You compared Zion to Joel, okay? Embiid played 31 games as a rookie, 63 in his second season, 64 in his third season. And after that, 51, 51, 68, 66.
So, first year didn't play, though.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
But so he played zero on
right.
that first
okay,
year.
Okay, fair enough. But then he went from 31, and then after his, you know, starting in his third year with 63, that's when really he exploded. But we knew Embiid wasn't going to play his rookie season.
That's right.
We knew
yeah.
that.
Yeah, he came into the draft. He got injured in that pre-draft process. Zion was kind of held. He was like a minutes restriction his rookie year, so he was kind of held back as well. But Joel Embiid, they really wanted to monitor him. And they were also going through the process. They were going through the whole tanking and all of that kind of stuff. Yep. They didn't want to throw Joel Embiid out there strategically so they could lose games early on into his career. So, yeah, it's a weird comparison right there. I guess it might not be as fair as I made it seem early on. Point is, for Zion Williamson, I'm just thinking maybe if he starts committing himself to a better health, you know, better healthier kind of diet.
What does he care? They've thrown so much money at him at the age of 20 years old. What does he care about getting into shape? He's making a fortune.
I think he legitimately wants to be a good basketball player.
He is a good basketball player. That's the sad part. He's just never healthy, but he is a good basketball player. He's averaging 26 a game, so he can play. He's just never on the court.
I think in order to be a better basketball player, you have to commit yourself to health and your fitness habits and all that you do off the court. And so for Zion, I wonder if he'll ever get to that point and who's going to push him to that mark. It doesn't seem like the New Orleans Pelicans organization has the right people around him right now, or maybe he's resistant to all the help that he gets from New Orleans specifically. Maybe he doesn't like it there. I don't know what the deal is over there with Zion and the Pelicans. It hasn't been good
either
since the start.
All right, so listen, we got a great show. By the way, Christopher Cuddy with an interesting take just now on Twitter. Zion is the Jamarcus Russell of the NBA.
No.
Now, here's the difference, okay? I never really thought Jamarcus Russell showed when healthy he was a top 10 quarterback.
Right.
All right. We've seen from Zion what he can do when healthy. The problem is he's just never healthy. So, I mean, in fact, Russell was a bust because he was hurt, but when he was healthy, he never showed that he was a guy that could turn into a top quarterback in the NFL.
Maybe there's really no comparison because he was such a highly regarded prospect out of Duke, but he also showed what he could do at Duke at the highest levels. Mm-hmm. I mean, he helped that Duke team reach, what, the Elite Eight all the way in that the NCAA tournament that year with R.J. Barrett. Cam Reddish had a great supporting cast around him.
Yes.
And then just did not, you know, translate that health and that consistency on a night-to-night basis in the NBA.
So Jay just checked into the show with an interesting name that could be a Zion comparison, Greg Oden.
Ah, man. I just feel like it's too early to call him a bust. Like, Greg Oden to me is just a bust. Like,
but Greg Oden was good when he was on the court. He just was never on the court.
True, true. Hey, at the time, you could defend picking Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. So I could see that. That's a good comparison right there. I'm just not willing to give up on Zion Williamson. I still feel like he's got that MVP upside.
I trade him and get a King's ransom for him and build your franchise around it. That's what I would do if it was me.
Well, the Pelicans are just a player away, I feel. I think they could get that right player for Zion Williamson in the offseason if they wanted to go that route.
We'll have to wait and see, right? We're going to wait. It'll be an interesting offseason for New Orleans fans, that's for sure. All right, meanwhile, today's show is going to be epic. I'm happy that Leo got the day off today. Leo told us on Twitter, excited for today's show. I have today off. It was destined. Hashtag picks up. That's because Keith Adams is dropping in here in the next segment, and Keith is going to join us on the program. In fact, she just arrived. She's here. I see that bright orange. We're going to be good to go. So Keith is here today. We're going to talk to her. Coming up at 5, Dr. Tiffany Wetton. Now, Dr. Tiffany Wetton is a vet. She is a veterinarian who is also responsible for bringing the rodeo to El Paso. That announcement was earlier today. So Tiffany is going to join us on the program at 5. Then we've got Lane Frank at 5:20 and Tim Haggerty at 6:15. It is going to be a monster show from the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. I absolutely cannot wait for today's show. I can't wait to see Keitha because I was there at the press conference yesterday. We did not get a chance to say hello to each other. She was a little busy. She had a lot of people there. But I had a great chance to talk to her, her mom, Sue. That was nice. But what do you know? She's back. She still has her roller backpack that she hooked me up with that I've got as well. Some things never change. I love that. So, hey, when we come back, she's back, folks. Keitha Adams, and we'll get a chance to talk at length with UTEP's new women's basketball head coach and keep things moving here on Sports Talk as we go to Charlie 1. Let's get our first traffic update of the afternoon. Welcome back, everybody, as we continue here on Sports Talk. Well, it's been about 6 years since I've had this guest here in studio. So it's nice. She looks the same. She doesn't age. That's the beauty of having Keitha Adams back in El Paso, the new head coach of the UTEP women's basketball team. It was great to see you yesterday. The press conference I thought was terrific. And you tell me, it's surreal. Isn't it weird how life works? And here you are back with the Miners for a second go-around.
Well, thank you for having me. It feels good to be sitting across the table from you, Steve. Yes, it is surreal. I mean, I think there's a lot of things, you know, that saying that things don't change. So there's a lot of things that I'm seeing. It's just like, I was like yesterday. But then there are things that do change. But it feels really great. I mean, I can't tell you how great it felt for me sitting in the office and just looking down at the Foster Stevens practice gym and the practice floor. And we had a workout this afternoon, and this has been a quick thing that's happened, but it was a very clear picture for me that I wanted to come back. And you know, sometimes when you make change, it's stressful. And this thing feels so good. And so I'm excited to be here.
you left under really good circumstances. And what I mean by that is you were there 16 years at UTEP. You really helped put the program on the map. And you left. Things were, I won't say open, but it was one of those where it wasn't on bad terms. It was on good terms with
not
everybody.
At all.
And
mm-hmm.
that was good because sometimes you never know when things happen. You could come back. And you always want to always leave the door open in case a return is as possible.
Yeah, I think, actually it was kind of a perfect story in the fact that, the connection that I have felt with the people here in El Paso and how people have been with me, when I made the decision to go back to Wichita and go back to my original home, I think that it didn't hurt the people in El Paso in the fact that they knew I was going back home. And so it was kind of like, hey, I left my home to come here, and now I'm going back. If I would have gone to another university, then maybe people would have felt a little bit differently, but I think everybody was very understanding and very supportive when I made that decision to go back to Kansas and to go to Wichita State. So I was glad it was – I mean, it's – and hey, I was here 16 years. I think that for me, I knew things were going to be changing in terms of – Bob was going to be retiring, and Diana Natalisa would be retiring, and, mm-hmm. and then I'd been here 16 years, and sometimes it's good to get a new challenge and then an opportunity to be 40 miles from where I grew up and my family and friends. I thought, I want to go back and let's take on this new challenge. So I know why I did it, and I'm glad I did, but it's also was clear for me to come back here. So it's great.
And by the way, what a challenge it was because you were playing in the same league as Gino Auriemma. You got to play UConn twice a year for about the first 3 or 4 years that you were there. And you just look at the American Athletic Conference. After spending these last 6 seasons there, what was your reaction to the league itself versus what you went up against in Conference USA and the WAC prior to that?
Yeah, well, that the conference is it's a phenomenal, great conference. I mean – 2 years ago, the American Conference was the sixth strongest conference in the country in women's basketball. You had the Power Fives, 1 through 5, and then bam, right there was the American. And so I think that, for me, I've thought about this, Steve, how as a coach, we took him to Stanford. I've coached against Tara Vanderveer. We went to Hartford, Connecticut, and went up against Gino and UConn. And also while I was at Wichita State, we traveled to Knoxville and we played the University of Tennessee. So, I think that for myself, it's like the game has been really great to me. And I'm very blessed that I've had those opportunities to go into those historically unbelievable strong programs and had that experience. And when we played Gino the first time when we went there, we got beat 80-some points. I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. Like, you don't even know what to say to your team when you go through something like that, yeah. Except grab your stuff and let's get on the bus and let's get the heck out of here. But, every year we close the gap. We close the gap, and I think it was year four or year three, we're up there, and with 9 minutes left, we cut it to single digits, and Gino called a timeout, and he was mad. And I'm sitting there going, all right, we've come a long ways. And we still end up getting our tails kicked, but I have a sticker where I wrote the score from year one, year two, year three, year four. And it's that progressing and getting better. But as a coach, I think I can only be a better coach now because I've gone through that. And I'm proud of myself that I wasn't scared to take that job knowing we were going to play them and face them.
Did it remind you a little bit of when you were here and Louisiana Tech first arrived with Kurt Butke, who the late Kurt Butke now, that's the first name, mm-hmm. right, was Kurt, who you knew, but they were a national power at the time. Not necessarily UConn power, but they were still head and shoulders better than everybody in the league. And in the beginning, it was tough. But as you started to play them more and more at UTEP, you started to narrow that gap a little bit with La Tech.
Well, I think that Yeah, with La Tech, they were a top 25 program, and we were a long, long ways from where they were at. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you bring that up, because the very first game that Coach Haskins ever came to see me coach was when we played La Tech. And I think I was more nervous about Coach Haskins being there to sit there to watch that game than playing La Tech. But I think we played him to a 13-point game, and Coach called me afterwards and he said, "Hey, I think you got everything out of your group that you could get out of them, and where their team's at," and where he was very complimentary. So that was the most nervous moment I had in that La Tech moment. But I think that the UConn thing, though, that, let me just tell you, that's an animal, and that's a beast like no wonder. I mean, it's the first year in 14 years they've been to 14 straight Final Fours. Like, there's no one that has been to 14 straight Final Fours that I know of. That thing is it's a monster. But I think that those opportunities are also why you do this, and it makes you better.
Was the season you just had, going to the WNIT, knocking off the number one seed in the quarterfinals of the tournament, did that make you think a little more about when this situation came up, because you realized, hey, I'm starting to break through now? Wichita State had the best season I've had since I've been there in terms of postseason success. You know, are we like that close to really turning the corner and putting this program in motion?
Well, I think that absolutely. I mean, one thing that's been a little bit, and you know, I can say this, first Coach Baker and the women's team winning 20 games this year, going to the NIT, and that was our first NIT that we, and here we are, he and I started both at the same time, mm-hmm. coming in, and, you know, but I think that probably a little bit to both of our situations, you're trying to build a program, and boy, we had 2 years of a skid road that got thrown at us with the COVID situation. So we were building momentum year three. We were 16-15, and really that next year we were wanting to get that 20-win season and just keep progressing. Mm-hmm. And that next year was our worst season, and that was the COVID year. And we got hit hard by it. It was horrible. And so that kind of that disrupted our flow in what we were doing. And then you've just got a lot of things that's changed, the NIL, the transfer portal. So I would put one word on the last 6 years of my experience at Wichita State is just transitioning into a new conference, transitioning to a new school, transitioning with a new president, transitioning with a new athletic director, transitioning through COVID, like NIL, transfer portal. So it's just constant transitioning from things that were changing. But that's kind of the world we're in right now, too.
On the flip side, Jim Senner has never had a chance to hire a women's basketball coach, because Kevin Baker was probably Bob's last hire, mm-hmm. while he was outgoing as a director of athletics at UTEP. So here he gets his first opportunity, and rather than look to maybe go in a different direction, brings you back, which really speaks volumes of the hire itself and the opportunity that Jim knows to bring someone that has had so much success in the past back a second go-around.
Well, I'm really thankful and appreciative to Jim and Dr. Wilson that they're giving me this opportunity to come back. That doesn't always happen. And so it's really a blessing for me. And I'm coming here, Steve, with a lot of passion and energy. I really am excited about reconnecting with El Pasoans. I'm excited about getting our season ticket people and those numbers up and our fan base. And I said this yesterday, I really want to come back here to obviously spearhead our women's basketball program and finish out my career and really get it rocking. And I also want to help the university. I want to help UTEP, and I want to help the athletic department. So I'm coming back here to embrace the city, embrace the university, lead the program, and just want to be a positive influence and to try to make a difference in the community and bring that energy and joy, because I'm really happy to be here.
Well, you've seen it before. Just want to do it again. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it again. And I also, you know, want to even, I think I can be a better ambassador and try to be even a leader or a servant to help in other ways that maybe I didn't do the first time I was there. You know, you get a little wiser as you get a little more mature. So I just really want to lead the program and also find ways that I can be helpful here in this great place.
More with UTEP head coach Keith Adams as we continue. We've got a caller on the line. Carlos, I'll get to you in a moment. If you want to get into the show, you can call the program, 505-6009. Tweet the station, 600 ESPN El Paso, or chat with us on our mobile app, powered by First American Bank. First, Adrian's back. He's got a bottom of the hour Sports Center update. Adrian, thank you very much. We continue right now with Keith Adams, who is with us here inside our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios. Let's go to the phones. Carlos is joining us next, and he is on the program. Hey, Carlos, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, Steve. Hi, Coach Adams. Welcome back.
Hey there, Carlos. Good to be back.
Thank you. I just have a question. I know you're just coming in. You're getting settled. You know, I've kind of been following the team for the last few years, and I've seen that the staff has some up-and-coming assistants, both men and women, for the UTEP women's staff. So I was just wondering, are you planning on giving them a shot of staying on? Are you bringing in your full staff from where you were at? I was just kind of curious how that transition is going to, I guess, go.
So when I spoke with Jim through the process, I expressed to him that I would definitely sit down and meet with anyone on the staff who was interested in staying. I think I will tell you that when you go through a transition like this, it's hard. And, you know, when you're a head coach and you make a decision to make a change, probably the toughest thing about it is that your decision affects so many people. It affects your staff. It affects their families. Then it affects the players. And it's tough. I mean, I remember when I went to leave UTEP and go to Wichita State, the hardest part about it is when you go to meet with your team. That's the toughest moment of it all. And so I've told Jim that I would sit down and visit with any of them if they were interested in that. And, you know, today I've had meetings with people that are around the program and kids that have made decisions back in time that they were moving on. And I've just wanted to connect with everyone to say, hey, I'm here. If there's anything that I can do to be of help in the transition that you're going through, please let me know. Because I know it's not an easy thing, but I'm very compassionate about what everybody's going through, because we're going through the same thing of where I just left. So I get it. And hey, there's people on the staff that I've known for a long, long time, and in the business, we all understand how this works. But I'm very open to having conversations with people because I think that communication is really key.
Coach, want to touch on something, a little different and kind of on the same lines as far as communications with the current players. You touched on maybe some early preliminary discussions on those. How do you expect those progressing over the next couple weeks as far as just the current roster on this team?
Well, you know, I think that, look, you can be at your program and the coach is staying and rosters can turn upside down with coaches not even moving and changing. I mean, we're up to, I think, 1,200 at least players in the Division I transfer portal, and it's maybe even higher now. The numbers are unbelievable that's in the transfer portal from Division I, Division II to Division III. It's off the chains, and it's just part of the world we're in now. I had a conversation with a coach early today that was upset because one of his players basically, it was communicated back to him that the player's plan was to build their stats so then they could move up to a bigger or better conference. And it's like their intentions of, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to move on. And they're even thinking that way when they're driving into the parking lot just to start at the school. And so it's just the transfer portal is a lot what kids are thinking and doing. They're seeing everybody doing it. And I think they love to get recruited, and they love to hear how great they are and being pursued. Everybody wants to be dated. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to hear those things. So it's just a part of it. And, you know, we've had great conversations with the players here. We know who we would love to have come back. I think you have some kids that have their mind already made up before you even have that conversation. But the thing that you do is you have that conversation. And what I'm doing is just going to continue each day to try to circle back to them so they become and feel even more and more comfortable with me. But look, we want people to be here who want to be here. You know, that is so important. And, but I have had some really good dialogue with the young ladies.
Excellent. Let me take one more call right now before we go to break. Dan is on the lines. Dan, go ahead. You're on with Coach Adams.
Good afternoon, Coach Adams. Welcome back. I'm personally glad that you are back.
Well, thank you. I'm excited and I feel great being back.
I have a question for you, Coach. In the short term and long term, are you going to emphasize the portal, or are you going to try to get high school players and develop them?
You know, great question. You know, I think probably you lined a lot of coaches up. I think a lot of coaches are discouraged about trying to develop players, which is just almost a sacrilegious statement. I mean, you know, you want to be a teacher and you want to develop people. And what I mean by that is, you know, probably a coach could say, well, why am I going to bring a kid in and develop them for them just to turn around? And then once I get them where they want to be, then they leave. And then another coach would probably say, well, bringing a kid in and maybe they're not, if you're developing, that means they're might maybe not quite right there. Well, that kid's probably not going to be happy, because all these guys, they want to be all playing. And I don't know that a lot of players are in that mindset of being developed. They want it right now. So I think it's an interesting thing. But I can tell you this, we are definitely about wanting our players to get better. And, you know, I think that I'm going to stay old school. And absolutely, I want to continue to develop our players and for them to get better. We had a workout today, and it was all about development and skill set. And we did things that was about them getting better individually as a basketball player. And I think I think that happens probably a lot of times when you see a post player that has potential and they're not quite there. And I think you have to develop post players. Post players are hard to find. But to answer your question, we're going to recruit from every angle. We're going to recruit high school. We're going to recruit junior college. We're going to recruit local, and we're going to recruit the transfer portal. We're going to hit it from all angles. I think that at UTEP, you've got to approach it from all different angles to get it done.
Good job, Dan. Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the hour with Keitha Adams. You want to get in? 505-6009. More in a moment. It's Sports Talk and 600 ESPN El Paso. 46 past the hour. Back right now with UTEP head women's basketball coach Keitha Adams. Two lines are available. 505-6009, our telephone number. This came in a little while ago from Ivan. Congrats and welcome back, Coach Adams. Question, were Adams' NIT games technically the last time the Don Haskins Center sold out for a basketball game? I believe so. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you sell out one or two games? Because I thought you sold out the semifinals and the championship. And you had back-to-back nights.
It was the semis and the finals.
That's what I thought. You had two sellouts.
We had two.
That's what I thought.
Every game as we went through the tournament, mm-hmm. the numbers just kept going up, and it happened.
I have basketball season ticket holders for the men's game who are regulars who will tell me that the most fun that they've had at a basketball game in God knows how many years was that run, especially the semifinals and the finals. The championship game, they'll say the noise level and the atmosphere mm-hmm. was unlike anything they've ever heard before.
It was. You know, we were down by quite a bit at halftime against Rutgers. We came out in a half-court trap, and they started throwing it in the rafters, and we built our way back up and got in a one-point game. And it was very electrifying, and it was a magical environment, no question. Our players were feeding off the fans, mm-hmm. and our fans were feeding off our players. And, I mean, it was amazing how that experience happened. And that's why I just really want to encourage listeners to get out and be at the Haskins Center for our men's team and our women's team, because that energy makes the players play even harder. I can't tell you how the level of that energy from the fans gets your players to get to an adrenaline that you just as a coach can't do it. But the fans can do that. And then they just started feeding off of one another, and it was magical.
I would agree with that. And bringing that magic back is a big reason why you are back and why you're here. As we go back to the phones, Adam from the East Side is next. Adam, welcome to the show. You're on with Coach Keith Adams.
Steve, Coach, how are you?
Doing great.
Excellent.
Hey, Coach, welcome back, first of all. I guess next I wanted to ask a little bit about recruiting, specifically because while you've been at Wichita State, I'm sure the level of player that you had to recruit over there has to be on a little bit of a higher level than we typically recruit here at UTEP. And being in that realm, knowing that level of player, you know, having a coach against UConn, you know, while you were here at UTEP, having a coach against C. Vivian Stringer, like those types of coaches, the landscape that you've been on, you know, for the last several years at Wichita State, since you know that area so well, do you think that you'd be able to bring those level of recruits to UTEP that, you know, you were bringing in at Wichita State?
Well, I think that, first off, we're just going to work really hard to get the best players we can in here. And that's really the philosophy that you're going to go for. You know, you go after some kids that maybe some people are afraid to go after because you don't think you have a chance at getting them. And, you know, when you do go after some of those big fish, you're probably going to come up empty maybe 5 out of 6 times. But you get that one, yes, you catch that one fish that's a really big fish, it can make such a big, big difference. And so we're just really going to work hard to get after it and go after the best players that we can get to our program. And I think that recruiting is recruiting. You got to work on it every day. I think Mike Price had a saying about recruiting that it's like shaving. You better shave every day and you better work on recruiting every day. So we're going to be really aggressive at it.
All right. Great question. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you, Adam, for getting in. We've got about 5 minutes left with Coach Adams, and then we'll wrap up the hour here on Sports Talk. So now you're going to be going into Conference USA with New Mexico State for the very first time. This was a former I-10 rivalry that was non-conference, now they're conference games. And their head coach is somebody that you probably know pretty well, Jody Adams-Birch, because you replaced her at Wichita mm-hmm. State. And now you are going to be going up against her in this rivalry, which suddenly becomes a conference rivalry and adds to more of the intrigue, I think, of these two schools and what we're going to see on the basketball court.
Yeah, you know, first off, I've got to say that Jody and I, we have formed a really unique and great relationship. When I went to Wichita State, Jody reached out to me and was amazingly supportive of me. And we're both Adams girls, and we're now both in the Southwest. And I have a great deal of respect for Jody. She's a great coach, and she's a phenomenal person. And my respect for her, extremely, extremely high level of respect for her. She went to the end. When I was at UTEP, she was at Wichita State, and we both were doing the same things. She's got 3 back-to-back NCAA banners hanging in Koch Arena, and we've got banners hanging in here. So what we were doing at the same time, so I think we understood one another. And but she was so gracious in how she treated me when I stepped in there, and because of that, we have a unique relationship. So, you know, if we play each other twice, we're going to really compete and want to beat each other. But when we're not doing that, we've both been cheerleaders and supporting for one another. So, her and I are going. You'll probably see us in a restaurant here having a cold one and grabbing a bite because we've got a great relationship.
Meanwhile, it's mid-April. You don't have a lot of time, do you? Because really, the summer's right around the corner. You're working on your roster, your staff, settling back into El Paso. Before you know it, it's going to be October, and we're going to be talking about practice starting up in the season right around the corner.
Whew. Well, I can't wait till October, and we're there because, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that's in front of us right now. I can just tell you that I think somebody reached out to my mom asking about, you know, are you guys looking at houses? That's the last thing I'm thinking about right now. We have one thing that we're thinking about right now, and that's our roster. Mm-hmm. We've got to get our players. We've got to get a roster completed, and then once we do that, then we'll start working on the other things that you have to transition in. But that's the priority, and that's priority number one and top.
If Sue wants to spend a couple of extra weeks while you're out working, we have a guest room in the house. She can go look at houses while you're out doing everything else. And then before you know it, you'll come back and she'll give you a scouting report of what she likes and where you need to be going when it's all said
and done. Sounds like a great game plan.
I love it. Meanwhile, before we wrap things up, you said a lot during the press conference yesterday. There's a lot of people listening to this. Terrific questions coming in. But if you had to give those Miner fans really one message is you're here for the second go around. And as you've called it, really, this is your last stop along the coaching way. What would you like to tell them?
I think that it would probably be that El Pasoans, their love and passion for UTEP and supporting our team and being passionate about our program, that's what brought me back. I think that this is a unique place, and people are very genuine, very authentic. And the word love and support and passion, there's a lot of things. I have a very high opinion of this community and the people here. And so, yes, I'm back because of the love that I have for them as well and that connection that we've had. And I need them to come back to the Haskins Center and bring somebody with them, and let's continue to make this thing special. It's going to take us time. We're going to go through some building process, but them being there and I want them involved and I want them connected to our players and our team and myself, and we're back, and I need them to be back in the dawn.
Great to see you. Looking forward to working with you again, and thanks so much for spending time
with us,
Steve.
Today. Appreciate it.
Keith Adams with us here as Sports Talk continues. Hour number two right after this. Start of hour number two here on Sports Talk. Welcome back. Keith Adams did have one thing she did not mention. That was 747 UTEP to buy those season tickets and support her return to El Paso. 747 UTEP. Earlier today, there was a press conference out at the Coliseum for a very, very cool return of a pro rodeo to El Paso. In fact, we've got Dr. Tiffany Wetton on the phone lines. She is from Rodeo El Paso and is responsible for organizing high-low pro rodeo and the return coming up in the middle of June to the Sun City and the El Paso County Coliseum. First off, Dr. Wetton, appreciate the time, and thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
This is a very big announcement that I know a lot of El Pasoans are going to be excited about, because this community has a long and storied history with rodeo at all levels, especially pro rodeo. Right out of the gate, tell me a little bit about how excited you are knowing you were able to put this thing together and now turn it into a reality coming up in June.
Oh, well, I just can't even, I really can't even put words to how excited I am to have this rodeo this year. You know, we had planned to maybe try to bring it back for next year. You know, if everything worked out right, give us a little time to prepare for it. But all the doors opened for us this year. You know, the Coliseum was available and they were excited, and all of our contract personnel was available and they were excited. So we just decided to run at it. And as I started going out, you know, amongst the community and talking to people, everybody was just so excited to have rodeo back, and the community stepped up in a huge way in sponsorships to help, you know, bring the rodeo back to specifically the Coliseum, which is, I feel like, where it needs to be.
How long have you been working on this project?
Well, I've been wanting to bring the rodeo back for about 3 years now. You know, every time I drive by the Coliseum, every time, you know, we have the rodeo up here in Las Cruces, it just was nagging at me that we needed to have rodeo back in El Paso. And my partner, Dustin Murray, with High Low Pro Rodeo, we just decided to that this was the year. We're just going to do it. And so it's kind of been a long time in the works, but things happened really fast once we booked the Coliseum.
Now, you are a large animal veterinarian. Have you always had an interest in the rodeo growing up?
Yes. So my family has been in the rodeo industry. You know, I rodeoed some in high school and college, and after vet school, I haven't been able to do much just because being a vet's pretty busy. It's a busy life. But yeah, I guess I've always been involved with rodeo in and around it in some form or fashion.
Did you grow up in the El Paso area? Where did really you get a chance to get so involved?
Well, I was actually born in El Paso, so I guess you could say I'm a native. but I the most of my life was spent on a ranch in western New Mexico, and I went to college at New Mexico State, and you know, I've been around horses and rodeoing just my whole life, I guess just through my association with my family and my ranching background. Yeah, just it's always been there. I don't ever remember a time when it wasn't there.
Wow, I love it. We're talking with Dr. Tiffany Wetton here on Sports Talk. And again, she's with Rodeo El Paso. And speaking of the rodeo, it will be coming to the County Coliseum two nights, June 16th and June 17th. In conjunction with High Low Pro Rodeo. Now, what's really interesting is, as she mentioned, the show was originally planned for 2024, but now we get it in mid-June instead. Tickets, by the way, will be going on sale tomorrow. You said it best, Doc. You said that, you know, the Coliseum is the perfect venue, and I totally agree. It was almost like it was made for these kind of events, in addition to the concerts and some of the other shows we've seen out there, like the like Disney on Ice. Rodeo has had a long-standing history at the Coliseum, and you look at the professional bull riding tour with Tuff Hedeman that comes every year to the Coliseum and does so well. It only makes sense that Pro Rodeo would be here.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Tuff Hedeman does come in February, and the bull riding is a huge event, popular. The community loves it, and I feel like the community's going to show up for Rodeo El Paso just the same. And, you know, we're going to have all the events. We have all the rough stock riding events, saddle bronc riding, bareback riding, bull riding, plus your timed events. We've got barrel racing, tie-down calf roping. We're also going to be including women's breakaway roping, which is kind of a up-and-coming pro rodeo event. So everybody who comes to the rodeo, they're going to get to see it all.
It's also on a Friday and a Saturday night, so you're hitting the weekend events perfectly. It sounds like also like this is going to be a pretty major production in terms of scale, isn't it?
Yes, it is. High-low pro rodeo, they bring the heat as far as production goes. You know, they just put on an amazing show. It's about the contestants, but it's also about the fans, and we just want to make it a amazing experience for everybody involved.
The tickets that go on sale tomorrow, you'll be able to get tickets for either Friday night, Saturday night, or both nights. That's what will be happening tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with the Coliseum box office and Ticketmaster for Rodeo El Paso. Now, knowing it's now named Rodeo El Paso, it's very important to let our listeners know this is not a one-off. You're in this for the long haul, and much like Tuff Hedeman, you want to make this an annual event here in El Paso.
That's right. We are definitely here to stay, and we're definitely planning on making it bigger and better every year.
This year it's June. Is that the ideal month that you would like to have this event in El Paso on an annual basis? Or did we pick June just because you know, it was available, and that's kind of the date that's going to launch this thing here in El Paso?
Kind of all of the above. You know, there's times of the year that are good and bad for rodeo as far as the contestants are concerned. June's a pretty good month. I think we're gonna be able to bring in a lot of really top notch contestants. I think summer is a great time to have it. You know, days are long. People are looking for something fun to go do on the weekend, and there's not going to be a pro rodeo down here every weekend. We're here once. We're here one time per year. You know, summer's just a great time to have it.
I don't want to say that this is a well-kept secret, because it's not, but there are plenty of people in this area that just like, you know, they grow up playing sports, they grow up in rodeo, and they grow up and then they get older and they start competing. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this area that eat rodeo for a living. There's a lot of local people in Las Cruces and El Paso that will be competing at a professional level and will be competing at Rodeo El Paso. New Mexico State has, you know, one of the best rodeo teams in the country. So this is a great area for rodeo contestants.
If somebody has never been to a rodeo event, but after listening to this, they're curious, they're excited, and they're looking to get tickets when they go on sale tomorrow morning for the 2 days out on the 16th and 17th of June, what is the best way to try to describe to a novice what they will see when they go to Rodeo El Paso?
Oh, boy. How much time do we have?
about four minutes, so go ahead. Take your time, Doc.
Well, I would recommend everybody who has not been to rodeo to come see this one. You know, we're gonna have events before the rodeo. They're going to just start creating the buzz and the vibe and you know, bring the excitement level into the Coliseum. Once the rodeo starts, you know, we'll have some of the best animal athletes in there. It's great. It's so much fun to watch the rough stock events, you know, watch the horse versus rider matchup or bulls versus rider matchup. We have clowns and we'll have trick ropers and trick riders. And, you know, our announcer has announced for the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo. We're bringing the best of the best. We'll have music and lights and entertainment. And we're going to have an after party at Ricky D's nightclub. It's going to be an event that no one wants to miss.
You already have a couple of major sponsors on board. Let's mention them. And also, I know you're still looking for more businesses and sponsorships to come on before the event in June.
Yes, I'm very pleased to announce that Star Western Wear is our title sponsor. They're excited. We're excited to have them. You know, our event and their store just fit together. I'm also excited to have ZTEX Construction on as our presenting sponsor, as well as Cesar Ornelius Law Firm. Those are some of our bigger sponsors. You know, they're so excited, and their excitement is keeping me driven to just keep making this better. We do have just a few sponsorship opportunities left if anybody is interested in getting their business name out there at this event. And I guess the easiest way to get a sponsor position would be to call me. And they can just call or text me at my cell phone. It's 575-649-4411. This is a great opportunity for people's businesses to get advertised. So we want to help the community out as much as it's helping us out.
I can't wait. It's going to be here before you know it. We're right about 2 months away from the return of Rodeo to El Paso and the first Rodeo El Paso event out at the El Paso County Coliseum. Dr. Tiffany Wetton is the president of Rodeo El Paso. Hey, thank you so much for the time and joining us, and really looking forward to this two-day rodeo as we get closer and closer here to June.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope you'll be able to make it.
I plan to for sure. I don't want to miss the return of rodeo in El Paso. That's terrific. From Dr. Tiffany Wetton over to Charlie One for traffic. Then when we come back, Lane Frank, Schoolyard Sports, will join us next as we continue at 600 ESPN El Paso. 600 ESPN El Paso, River Oaks Properties, Schoolyard Sports Studios. Who needs Woj when we've got Lane Frank dropping breaking news all over the college basketball world right now? And he is with us for our weekly visit. Good to see you back. And this is fun. You know, congratulations. You're breaking recruiting stories and signings all over college basketball. And before now, it's things are changing with you, aren't they, a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more exciting. Great to be back, obviously. But yeah, it's definitely more exciting, a lot more overwhelming, you could say. But I love it. I mean, breaking these stories before anyone else gets them, just having great sources, that's the best part of the game.
I don't blame you. And just so you know, Adrian caught on to this earlier in the week. And he goes, are you seeing what Lane's doing? I go, no, what? He goes, it's unbelievable. Like, he's getting stories about guys decommitting and signing before everybody else is getting them. And it seems like when it rains, it pours. You've had a pretty good week, haven't you?
I've had a pretty good week. You know, the Twitter's been going great. YouTube's been going great for Squared Sports. You know, some people are saying, oh, I don't know if this account's legit. And then there's people on message boards saying, how did a 15-year-old get this story out before me? Well, I'm that 15-year-old. Really excited to get these stories out before the top guys in college basketball, before these top reporters get them.
I don't blame you. Listen, Shams Charania was like a 17 or 18-year-old when he first started in the business.
15, so.
There you go. You're just a couple of years younger, but you're on the fast track.
But
it's good. And you started throwing this out there. And when you put your first tweet out, people thought this is ridiculous, right?
They didn't
take you seriously.
A lot of people thought it was ridiculous. When I put out, the first one I put out was that Mackenzie McValco, 5-star commit to Duke, long-time commit, that he was going to decommit. I said that. Nobody believed it. 5 days later, guess what happens? He decommits. So I had that story before anybody else that day. I also had Kyle Filipowski coming back to Duke. I released that the night before, announced it the next morning. So just knowing a lot on that inside. And then I have a story out right now that Deron Holmes, Dayton center, will enter the transfer portal. And that today, the big nugget, Hunter Dickinson, will commit to Maryland. Zeroed in on Maryland. About to be official.
Wow. So you have already, that's four in a week. Four of these big ones in a week.
So I've had Dayton fans, Duke fans, Maryland fans saying, is this legit? Is this legit? Well, I'm saying I've broke the two biggest stories in college basketball this week before anyone else, and that's the Filipowski story and the McBaco story. So.
All right, hang on one second.
There
we
go.
Let me see how Schoolyard Sports is doing on its number of followers. Let me see now. You're up to 388 followers. So. You keep this up, you will have probably over 5,000 before the end of the weekend. You just got to keep doing these kind of stories.
I think I gained 80 yesterday, so
I believe it. Yes. And you've got the blue check mark. That also helps because you're throwing that out there. And people are like, oh, look at that. He's got the check mark. And you know what the beautiful thing about the check mark is now? Nobody knows if you're exactly.
But the tough part is I have 388 followers.
Well, you have to grow somewhere, right?
Exactly.
That's just what it's all about.
I mean, I had a tweet, the Deron Holmes tweet, got 42,600 impressions. So that was a good one right there.
That is a good one. Now, here's the next question. Adrian, by the way. Everything Lane is doing it's fun to watch this in real time, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pumped about this. Every time I'm seeing some breaking news coming from Lane, I get fired up. Like, this gives me some energy on my side.
So here's the thing, okay? You've started down this rabbit hole.
Okay.
So the question is,
it's definitely overwhelming. Replying to every comment during school, replying to DMs anymore.
Don't do that.
I will reply to some of the comments.
Don't reply
to
hate.
Don't ignore it. First off, listen, ignore the hate. Okay? Because the hate comes with the territory. So ignore it.
Well,
don't let it get
to you.
Well,
when you think about it, for Instagram, better to have more comments. You reply to a hate comment with just something simple, then that boosts your algorithm.
Oh, is that what it works for Instagram? So you reply to the hate, it boosts it.
Yeah.
How about Twitter? Same thing?
Twitter, I'll reply to most of the comments on Twitter. It's a little bit tough sometimes because there's so many, but I'll reply to most of them.
Okay. As far as the stories, will you keep going? Like, because that's the thing. You've already had four in a week. Will you be able to keep this up, or is this just one of those crazy weeks where things happen?
Oh, yeah, I can definitely keep this up. NBA, college basketball, hopefully we can go into football in a few days. But, yeah, basketball really the focus right now, NBA and college basketball.
Oh, so you're going to be able to, not just to keep this up, I mean break stories like this.
Exactly.
You're going to continue to break stories.
And I'm not just breaking the stories after one of the top reporters gets it. I'm not just reporting out. No, I'm getting the story first, then leaking it.
Because I know you, and I know that you would not put something out there on your Twitter handle if you did not feel rock solid 100% that it was going to happen. Because it's your reputation mm-hmm. you're talking about.
Exactly, with the Hunter Dickinson thing. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just saying eventually, maybe in the next week or two, he will commit to Maryland, zero down on the Terrapins. I think that's going to happen without a doubt, and I've heard that from people.
And when that does happen, then do you take the news, retweet your original tweet, and say, hey, before everybody else?
Exactly. That's why I did the McBalko story and the Filipowski story. And it will happen with Deron Holmes when he transfers.
Lane, I promise you this. When some of these stories start breaking, I'm going to start tagging Goodman. I'm going to start tagging Rothstein so they give you credit because that's the thing. They got to give you the credit for breaking this first.
You know, I've already had some big college basketball pages that would give me some credit and just be like, oh, I broke the story first. Can I get some credit? And they've given me some.
That's good. Have any of the writers come to you yet?
No writers, but Duke writers have come to me. When I broke those two Duke stories, I had some people coming to me. And then I think one of them even leaked the DMs on a message board.
Really?
Yep. They said, oh, a 15-year-old really did have the story before I added.
Very nice.
That was
good. That's good. So and by the way, one other great piece of advice. Don't ever give up your source.
Exactly. That's what you taught me. Don't ever give up your source.
Can't do that.
You know, it always seems unreliable when someone with 388 followers says per sources, but I broke the two biggest stories. They've come true. Per sources. I'm not just going to say who my source is. That's why everybody comments source. I'm not telling you.
Good. You shouldn't.
That's not how the game works.
No, it's not. And by the way, just so you know, as you continue to do these kind of stories, all right, and break these things and keep your sources anonymous, all that does is increase your credibility with those sources. They're going to keep feeding you stuff because they know you're not going to give up your sources.
Exactly.
Good. Are these stories on Schoolyard Sports, which drops tonight?
They are on Schoolyard Sports. Call it the Schoolyard Sports Scoop, the Schoolyard Scoop. New segment, kind of talking about all of that. Let me give you one right here. James Harden going back to Houston this summer looks like a big possibility.
Really?
Looks like a big possibility, especially if he can get a ring. I think if he gets a ring right here, going back to Houston, I think if he doesn't, he kind of gives up on that ring-chasing dream and just heads back to Houston, has a great career there.
I like the fact that you're now venturing into the NBA and throwing these same kind of predictions out there with guys like Harden that you're doing in college hoops.
Yep. Working through all of basketball. Hopefully we can expand to football and baseball.
Boy. Adrian, this is fun.
We got this. This is great. We need to lean on Lane to be our source for this stuff.
You guys are the best El Paso sources.
Well, we try.
Paso Sports News, UTEP.
We try. We don't give up our sources. We don't do that.
Of course.
We got to keep those quiet. So that's right. I like it. I like where you're going. By the way, speaking of El Paso, about an hour ago, Keith Adams was here in our studios.
The same
River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studios you're in right now. Reaction when you heard the news earlier in the week that UTEP was going to bring Keith back as head coach of the women's basketball team.
That's great. Hopefully the UTEP get back to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, that's the main goal for every Conference USA team, I would say, especially after seeing what Florida Atlantic did in men's basball this year. Bringing back maybe El Paso UTEP basketball, women's basketball legend, Keith Adams.
When the Miners went to that WNIT run, and they went all the way to the championship of the WNIT.
Against Rutgers, correct.
Right. Did you have a chance to go watch any of those games at the Haskins Center?
I mean, I'm not too sure. I must have been 4 years old back then. 6 years old. What year?
I feel like your parents took all the kids in those days.
I think I did go to that game.
That was a happening. Everybody was at those games.
I mean, yeah. Women's NIT. Hopefully they can make the women's NCAA tournament.
It was probably the last sellout crowd, too, for the Haskins.
If they were to host, because women's basketball, you can host the first two rounds as a home team in the NCAA tournament. If UTEP could do that, that'd be amazing.
Can you imagine how crazy that would be?
That would be crazy.
I agree with you. By the way, you know, now that we're in the offseason around college basketball, you tell me, how big is NIL playing into all of these major college recruiting news?
Oh, it's playing such a big factor. You see Cal Filipowski coming back to Duke. That could be just because of NIL. Mackenzie Igbako decommitting. A lot of people are saying it's because of Filipowski. Could be because of NIL. A lot of other issues in there. And then obviously you have other players saying, oh, NIL this, that's why I'm transferring. You see a lot of high-level players transferring from their schools just to get NIL.
Do we have any idea how much money we're talking about at schools like Duke for NIL?
I mean, it's definitely a lot. Big amount for college basketball, even if it's for 1 year, and that's what's ridiculous. Yeah, home run right there.
It is ridiculous. Who hit it?
Michael Taylor.
Oh, Yankees are getting shelled.
They are. Domingo Germán looking like his last days as a Yankee.
Oof.
It's been like that for years.
What's the score now?
7-0.
That is, that's brutal. And it's the first inning.
It is. So oh, that is horrible.
Domingo Germán could not get out of the first today for the Yankees.
Domingo Germán has some issues.
He does. By the way, speaking of issues, I think Major League Baseball has issues right now with the Rays. They have tied the record 13 straight to start the season. Only
ridiculous.
Two other clubs in the history of baseball have ever been able to win 13 games. So they have tied the big league record. They're fun to watch, aren't they?
But let me say this right here. They don't win a playoff series.
Why?
Okay, they have a lot of medium-level talent. You play a team like the Astros, White Sox, that's a lot of high-level talent. Even the Twins, Yankees, it's a lot of high-level talent. I don't see you beating those teams. I don't even know if they win the division, at least.
Think about this, okay?
Orioles are up there.
How about this?
Because you have a 13-game head start doesn't mean anything.
It's a huge head start. In fact, if they play 500 baseball the rest of the way, they win like 87, 88 games. That's just a 500 baseball team.
That's tough to play 500 baseball, especially with their older type of rotation. I mean, they already have a pitcher going down today.
But listen, this team is always there. The Rays are always in the hunt
year
after year. It's amazing.
I don't think this is their year. I love a Rosarena, but I don't know when that magic dies down.
Let me ask you this. If it's not their year, whose year is it in the AL East?
In the AL East?
Yes.
Obviously, I love the Orioles. I hope they can come in second place in that division, but it's always got to be the Yankees. Yankees, most talented team in the AL East. A lot of people like to throw the Blue Jays in there, but I'm going to go with the Yankees, especially Blue Jays this year with Kevin Kiermaier coming on, George Springer, Vlad Guerrero, but I still think it's the Yankees' division to lose.
Just remember this, okay? The Rays haven't lost yet, so we don't know how many more games they're going to win before they get their
first
loss.
But have we seen them play the Yankees? Have we seen them play a top-level team? Because they're going to play every single team in the MLB season.
They are.
That's what's special about this MLB season. How are they going to do against the Mets, the Dodgers, the Astros? That's what I'm excited to see.
Even if they split against those teams, they'll be fine. But you have to realize this too, okay?
I don't know if they split.
Well, we'll see.
That could be a sweep.
They've got some. Maybe this is the year for some Rays magic. Maybe it's a magical year for Tampa Bay.
I don't know. They don't have that one superior star. You have all those great guys and Wander Franco, Randy Rosarena, and Randy Rosarena could win MVP this year, but I just don't think you have that one $400 million type player.
You don't, but I love Wander Franco. I think Wander Franco is one of the fun young players to watch. And don't forget about Brandon Lau. He is off to a terrific start playing second base.
But that can obviously die down. Injuries, age,
progression.
162 game season.
But it happens to anybody. It could happen to any team in
baseball. But it could especially happen to the Rays because of their age.
Look at you. You're ready to shoot them down before it even starts.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell. All right.
They're calling some prospects, though. Shane Bass,
But let me say this, okay, too. Remember this. Even though they're playing they're thriving and feasting on the weak teams in baseball, doesn't necessarily mean that even the best teams are going to beat the worst teams all the time. Look at the rest of the start around Major League Baseball, and you've got plenty of really good teams losing series to clubs like the Washington Nationals right now.
Okay, let me say this right here. Baseball, years as a Mets fan, this is my word to you. We're both Mets fans, but let me say this right here.
Yes.
It's not about how you start the 162-game season. It's about how you end it.
That's true.
Happened the past 2 years to the Mets. Great start 2021 season. They don't even make the playoffs. Great start 2022 season. They don't win the division. They end up losing in the playoffs. Wild card round.
Yeah.
That's a disappointment.
That's
so it's not about how you start the season, but how you finish it. That's why I don't get too excited about a start to the MLB season. I don't get too down about a bad start.
You just kind of
got another home run.
Is it now 8-0?
8-0.
Wow. What a start. What a start. What a terrible situation for the Yanks right now. Down 8-0 in the first inning. You might as well go home. Go back on the B train and go back into the city after this.
Might happen. Aaron Boone got ejected last night. Maybe he wanted to be tonight also.
Unbelievable. All right. 8 runs on 7 hits, and they're still batting in the first inning. More with Lane as we continue here on Sports Talk. But first, back to Adrian and our Sports Center update. Much. You won't believe this, but while you're doing SportsCenter, the Twins went yard again.
9-0.
9-0. That was
Is
Carlos
that back-to-back
Correa.
To back?
Two outs right now. Let me see if it's back to back to back.
I know it's
yes,
back
it was.
To back.
I think it was actually
4. That's the record.
Taylor, and then Julian, and now Correa. So yes, back to back to back jacks. First, it was Johnny Brito pitching, who is the 25-year-old who had two terrific starts before this. And now it is, unfortunately, Colton Brewer, who is just getting shellacked. I'll tell you this. I've watched a lot of baseball before. I don't think I've ever seen the Yankees, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think I've ever seen the Yankees give up 9 runs in a first inning at home before. That just seems so surreal right now.
It is ridiculous, but they haven't even batted yet. That's the thing about baseball. They haven't even batted yet, meaning that they could also get 10 runs. That's how baseball works. No time clock or anything. So, you know, you could say the game's over because it's 9-0. Well, things can happen in baseball. Yankees can also score 9 runs in this game. That's what's interesting. You got Brian Buxton up right now. He's a home run threat. So this could get out of hand.
Yeah, he is. So we'll see if Buxton can find a way to extend this. He walked the first time up. But no, I've never seen anything like this before either. 9-0, two outs in the top of the first inning at Yankee Stadium. After we talked about Tampa Bay, now you got the situation right now with the Yankees just trying to bat in the bottom of the first.
Would you leave your seats? If you're at this game as a Yankees fan, would you leave your seats?
No, because stranger things have happened. And by the way, Byron Buxton just walked. So the streak is over. He's on base. But from bad to worse right now if you're the Yankees.
This is just horrible. I mean, they can't even take this guy out because if you have two relievers by the second inning, that's horrible.
And he just got in. I mean, the problem is...
Exactly. Can't get a guy out.
He probably even haven't had a chance to warm up yet because most pitchers never get started in the bullpen throwing until, you know, the fourth, fifth inning. So this is the first inning we're talking about.
You should have just stuck Johnny Brito in there. I don't get that. You have one more out to go. Just stick him in there. One more inning. One more out.
Listen, the kid was demoralized. He gave up 6 hits, one walk, and 7 runs. I mean, there's just got to come a point where you take the poor
kid
out.
Still 2 home runs, though, from Colton Brewer.
Yeah, has not been good.
It's a psychological thing at this point.
That's true. Probably another reason why you take out Johnny Brito, because if it's psychological, you want to get him out of there before he's a total mess.
Because every Twins player is thinking about hitting a home run, and they're all thinking about giving up a home run to the pitcher. So that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, that's very true. Saw this news a little while ago, and that is the fact that Adama Sanogo of UConn
declaring
will be entering the NBA draft. That's to be expected.
That's what I expected, but that's a bit of a hit to UConn. You still have Donovan Clinigan coming back next year, so that's great for you. But you lose maybe your best player all season long. That's going to be a hit. I don't think they start out preseason number one anymore.
Who is number one in your mind preseason after that news?
Not biased. Duke. Duke, a lot of people have him as number one. John Rothstein even released today as number one. A lot of guys coming back. Jeremy Roach still up in the air if he will maintain his eligibility or declare for the NBA draft. So, yeah, a lot going on with Duke right now, but they just have such a great recruiting class. And also Kyle Filipowski coming back, ACC Rookie of the Year. That's no debate about it. Freshman of the year.
Meanwhile, how about Texas losing their 5-star to, I believe it's Australia. Who's going to play in the NBL, the Australian Pro Basketball League, before coming over to the NBA next season?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely interesting right there. I thought about it. I said, oh, Ryan Terry losing recruits. I don't think that's what's going on here. I think there was more internal issues as to why he's not going to go get Texas anymore.
You do? So you think it's, when you say internal, meaning the kid himself as opposed to Texas and Terry? Okay.
I think more issues maybe with grades, something like that.
By the way, I don't think Rodney Terry is going to have any issue in terms of attracting talent to the University of Texas. I really don't. He still has another 5-star who's going there, and it comes to the portal, he'll probably get the best of the group.
Tyrese Hunter and Dylan Mitchell declared, but maintain eligibility. If you can get those guys back for next year, that's great.
37, now past the hour, as we continue here on Sports Talk. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some NBA playoffs next with Lane. Did you get a chance to watch the play-in games these last two nights?
Oh, amazing. That's what the NBA play-in's for.
Did you enjoy the Bulls' comeback over the Raptors last night after it looked like they were dead?
I did, because now I get to rant on the Raptors now. We'll talk about that after break.
We'll do it. Lane Frank is here. Schoolyard Sports, the brand new podcast, dropping tonight. 119 or 120? Where are we at?
We're on 119.
119 coming tonight. And you can check that out wherever you listen on demand to all your podcasts with Schoolyard Sports. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. Back with Lane Frank as we continue here on Sports Talk. So we've watched some interesting basketball playoff action for 2 days. I floated this out on the show earlier. Adrian didn't like it. I think New Orleans should shop Zion during the offseason.
I agree. Get Zion's stock up. His stock's going down so much right now. Those beignets making him a little bit injury prone right now. That could be. I think he just needs to get out of New Orleans, that whole entire situation.
But they're
great when they have him, so that's a tough argument.
But I do believe that Zion will have lots of trade value right now.
I agree.
He's 22 years old, and if you're New Orleans and you're going to unload him, this is probably the time to do it.
So, Adrian, why do you disagree on that idea?
He's the number one pick, man. He's one of the top prospects we've seen come out of college basketball and
maybe
even
ever,
high school. We knew him all the way back since he was an eighth grader. If you're New Orleans right now, which is still kind of a teetering franchise and still kind of going through muddy waters and just one player away from being a true contender, you have to run, in my opinion, you have to try to run it back one more year because he can't do this for three straight years. He can't be injured for three straight seasons.
Okay, let me ask this right here. Lottery hasn't happened yet. You can trade that overall pick. It's going to be a top five overall pick, but you don't know which slot. Say they call up Houston, any other team with that top three overall pick, that 14%, and they say, we'll give you Zion for that 14%. We don't know where that 14% goes, if it's going to be number one, number three, number five. We want Wembanyama. If they trade Zion for Wembanyama pick, would you do that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Wembanyama is the better prospect. So, I mean, if you're asking for a chance for Wembanyama, no. But if you're giving me a guarantee that you're getting a chance to actually get him, yes, I'm doing that.
Yeah, so he's saying not if the pick hasn't been decided.
What about just any top three pick, and then you get three other first-round picks mixed in there for years to come? So you can either get Wembanyama, Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson.
You got to trade him after the lottery. You have to. You can't trade him when you don't know for sure what that pick will be until the lottery. So I'll be interested to see what happens. Now, let's talk about the Lakers. They survived. It wasn't easy against Minnesota, but they were able to win in overtime after an Anthony Davis foul.
Flunk.
Yeah, it almost cost him the game, which is crazy in itself. Schroeder was amazing. He was making shots when they needed him to. They looked exhausted. We said it earlier on yesterday's show that LeBron and Davis looked exhausted in that game, especially in the fourth. But the Lakers are the seventh seed. Now they get an opportunity to go up against the Grizzlies. Do you see Los Angeles knocking off and upsetting Memphis in the playoffs?
I do. Memphis needs to be put in their place, kind of like how Phoenix needed to be put in their place last year. So does Memphis. I also see the Warriors sweeping the Kings.
Sweeping the Kings. Why?
Okay, Steve Kerr can know Mike Brown's in and out, assistant for him for years. Obviously, Warriors are more talented, in my opinion, than the Sacramento Kings. And you think about it, Warriors fans are going to show up maybe more in Sacramento than the actual Kings fans.
So you're expecting, I don't know. I think if you're Sacramento and you've been terrible for so long,
but
now you're good.
16-year playoff drought.
I
think the fans are going to be jamming that stadium.
I talked about this last week. I said that the best teams in the East, they're the top seeds. The best teams in the West, those are the bottom seed teams, like the Clippers, like the Warriors, like the Suns, like the Lakers. And the top teams, those are just the consistent teams that will get knocked early in the playoffs. I don't see any of the top three seeds in the West making the Western Conference Finals.
Who wins between Minnesota and Oklahoma City?
Minnesota and Oklahoma City, I hope. Oklahoma City. I really love this Oklahoma City squad. I see a dynasty in the making.
How'd you like the Oklahoma City performance yesterday?
Great. Take down the Pelicans, maybe ending the Zion Williamson era there.
It's possible. Meanwhile, how does Toronto blow a 19-point lead to the Bulls like they did last night?
Okay, let's not focus on that so much. How did they blow their whole entire, maybe, future of their franchise like this? Trade deadline, they went all in. They didn't trade Fran VanVleet. They didn't trade OG Anunoby, and they actually traded next year's first-round pick for Jakob Poeltl. Jakob Poeltl is not worth a first-round pick, especially if it's a high first-round pick for next year, so I don't love that right there. They went all in at the trade deadline for a play-in loss. They're probably going to end up with the 13th pick now. That's not so great. That's why I hate it right here for Toronto Raptors, and I'm glad they got put in their place. I'm glad that they absolutely got demoralized, embarrassed for going all in at the trade deadline, and it didn't work out.
But isn't that the objective of a team at the trade deadline? If they think they've got a shot.
But they could have sold. Everybody thought they were going to sell OG Anunoby. They had no shot at making the playoffs. I'm making championship. Play-in at most. And I did make the play-in.
But I'm okay with that. I mean, the message to the fans is we want a shot at it.
I think the fans would rather have Brandon Miller, the top three pick, than Jakob Poeltl.
Adrian, give me your take on that.
Yeah, I would agree there with Lane. I would also say Nick Nurse, he's going to step away after the season. Toronto's just kind of going through a little bit of turmoil right now. The one shining spot on their team is Scotty Barnes, the small forward. He's going to be that kind of sensation. This was his sophomore season going into his junior season next year in the NBA. He's got 3 years under his belt. I expect him to take that next step and
hopefully
be a great sidekick to Pascal Siakam next year.
I think if they can have a duo of Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes, and then potentially you make a huge trade or you get lucky in the lottery and you can get Scoot Henderson, that's a big three, but I don't see that happening.
Chicago-Miami.
I would trade
up.
Pascal Siakam for Scoot Henderson.
You would? Okay.
I would.
Chicago-Miami tomorrow, who wins that game?
Chicago-Miami. I mean, Miami, this is a rough ride for them. They were cruising the beginning of the season, cruising last season, and then you see it, the fall-off happened in midseason. So I think a lot of people want to see the Heat lose this game, but I don't think they do. I like Jimmy Butler. I think he's going to say, no nonsense, we need to win this game, and I think they do.
So Jimmy Butler is going to will Miami to win this ball game.
He's going to will Miami to win this game. In Miami, they're not losing.
Adrian, you see the same thing happening?
I like the pick. I would just caution, you know, the Bulls were counted out of that game yesterday. They were getting killed, and I really appreciated how Zach LaVine willed the team back into that game and DeMar DeRozan closed it out. The Bulls have guys in late-game situations just like Jimmy Butler can close out a game for the Heat. So if this, I feel like this one will be close down the stretch.
DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, could this era keep on going, or do we see it end after this year? That's all riding on this one game.
Big question. Meanwhile, how easy will it be for Denver when they go up in the first round against either Minnesota or OKC?
If you play OKC, I don't know how easy that is for you. I think you still win it, but it's going to be close.
As far as what if it's Minnesota?
If it's Minnesota, that could also be an issue because you have Rudy Gobert. He can defend Nikola Jokic. You have Anthony Edwards. He probably matches up better with Jamal Murray. I love that matchup right there.
Did Minnesota do the right thing suspending Gobert for the punch?
I think you have to. I think maybe a fine could have been better or suspension maybe start next season. We've seen that in other sports, say baseball when Yuli Gurriel got suspended the next season instead of during the World Series. So you could add something like that.
Will we see any major upsets in the Eastern Conference in the first round?
I don't see an Eastern Conference. I think definitely the Western Conference because the better teams are at the bottom in the Western Conference. But Eastern Conference, I see those top three seeds cruising.
How about the Cavs-Knicks 4-5 matchup?
That's going to be a great matchup. I have the Knicks winning that.
Are you going to the Garden to watch any of those games?
No. Are you?
No.
It's going to be a good series, though. Who do you have winning? Honest opinion.
I mean, as a Knicks fan, I would like to see the Knicks
get
through.
That's where I'm in right now.
I would be disappointed.
I still love Cleveland.
Yeah, but I'd be disappointed. If the Knicks had this kind of a season, they bounce out in the first round as a 5 seed, that would be tough to deal with.
I just think the East is so loaded right now, especially Cleveland. That's going to be tough. And not having home court advantage, that could be an issue.
Did you talk hoops on NBA hoops on Schoolyard Sports, episode 119?
Of course, we're talking play-in, we're talking playoffs, we're talking award show. I did my NBA award show, so go tune in. Comes out tomorrow, actually, since I recorded yesterday.
Meanwhile, the NHL season is coming to an end. We got the final game.
That's your sport.
It is. You're not into hockey, huh? You're not into pucks?
I know the basics. You see, Islanders made the playoffs this year.
The basics.
Islanders ended their drought. They made the playoffs this year. That's great.
Look at what Boston did this year.
I know.
Record setting.
Great team.
Record setting. But
what about?
And by the way, when you set a record like Boston did, okay, anything less than a Stanley Cup championship,
it's a disappointment.
Exactly. 100%.
And when you see a team break a record, regular season record, you don't really expect them to win the championship. Or you don't want them to. Say 73-9 Warriors. And if this Boston Bruins team too. So it could get interesting.
That's true. It's almost like that Patriots team from years ago. That
was 17-0.
Undefeated all the way up to the Super Bowl. But when you lose that game like they did to the Giants that year, you realize that all that great play was didn't give them anything at the end.
I mean, I don't know the last time I saw a record-breaking regular season team win the actual championship.
It's been a while.
Maybe 72-10 Bulls.
Yeah, I can see that. That's probably the most accurate one.
College hockey is exciting too. You know, Michigan made their 10th straight Frozen Four, and of course they lost in the semifinals for the 10th straight year. Not exactly, but they've lost in the Frozen Four semifinal a lot. Happened again this year. Quinnipiac.
So you won't talk pucks in the NHL, but you'll tell me about the Frozen Four in Michigan getting bounced out again, is
so
what you'll tell me.
Quinnipiac versus Minnesota National Championship.
Okay. All right.
Great talk. We talk baseball. We talk NHL. We talk college basketball.
It's been a very busy hour, hasn't it?
Definitely has.
You going to go see Tatis while he's in town?
Maybe on Saturday night. You going tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
Be there tomorrow night. All right. Once again.
Home run. This is ridiculous. Michael Taylor again.
Every time you're here, another ball is leaving the yard in that Yankee game, and it's not the Yankees hitting him out. It's Minnesota.
This is ridiculous.
All right, listen, it's great to see you.
Great to have you back on.
And continue to break more stories. By the time we get you back on next week, I'm expecting other breaking news out of your Twitter handle.
Hopefully Deron Holmes one works. We're all good.
If people want to follow you on social media, what do they need to do?
@SquaredSports on Instagram, @SquaredSport on Twitter.
Simple as that. Twitter and Instagram, the big two.
Yep.
All right. Very nice. By the way, thank you for allowing our studio to be named in part after Schoolyard Sports. We're excited about that.
Of course.
We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Talk to you.
Lane Frank, folks, as we continue from the aforementioned River Oaks Properties Schoolyard Sports Studio. When we come back, Tim Haggerty is about 20 minutes away. We'll get you ready for Chihuahua's baseball. And, yep, Fernando Tatis Jr. back in the lineup tonight. We'll do that in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. We're on Sports Talk as we continue. Final hour underway. 30 minutes of Sports Talk as we take you up to First pitch out at Southwest University Park. Excited about that. Adrian, really ready to get things going here on the show. And think that it's that time, man. Perfect time. Alicia Barona's in the house as well. I got to ask how Alicia's trip to Southwest University Park was when she was here just a few nights ago.
It was so much fun being on the ballpark. There was a whole bunch of fans out there. Saw Fernando Tatis at bat. It was amazing.
How was that? Was that really cool?
Yeah, it was super cool. And then I got to go out to right field and take some pictures of him. It was amazing. It was so fun.
Oh, that is cool. I love that. So ultimately, it was worth the trip out there.
It was worth the trip out there. It really was. It was fun to be out there.
Yeah, now you can say you've had a chance to see the great Fernando Tatis, right?
Yeah. And take pictures of him, which is really cool.
Exactly. Now, that is really cool. Good for you. Happy everything worked out. Adrian, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Most definitely. It was a great night. Tuesday. It's been a great week, all week for El Paso Chihuahuas fans. I know a lot of people, Steve, and I want to emphasize a lot, were ditching work on Wednesday.
No.
We're out playing, watching day baseball.
No.
I saw way too many people that I know out there who are employed, and I said, wait a second, you just got the day off, or what? You got sick today or something like that? But nonetheless, great crowd out there yesterday.
People didn't do that. Are you serious? They played hooky from work or took time off to go watch baseball games? That actually happens?
I love it. It's so funny how it's now kind of like a tradition in El Paso every time they have these day baseball games here locally. A lot of fans just skip out on work. It's a good day. It's a good excuse to call in sick.
Yes, it is. That is 100% correct. I didn't go, unfortunately. And usually I am always at a game like that, but I had other stuff to do work-wise. Couldn't go, Adrian. Had to stay back here. It's crazy.
Yeah, same here. I had some good friends head out there. They said the atmosphere was great. Also, tonight, I mean, it's Thrifty Thursday, so you're talking about a great crowd tonight, and it leads into an exciting weekend. So I know El Paso Chihuahuas fans will cherish these memories here with Fernando Tatis Jr. here. There have been a lot of people asking for autographs. He's given some of those autographs as well. So just love how he is responding to the El Paso audience.
Yeah, I am not surprised that he is doing well, because that's what you would expect. And I feel like, you know, I mean, this is the kind of place where he's never been before, and maybe that's also part of the reason why the fans are so happy to have him here.
Maybe he will be more accepting and willing to come back to El Paso if he ever needs to.
I could see that, too. I could see that. So, yeah. I mean, although, let's be honest, we don't want him here, because if he's here, that means he's either hurt, rehabbing, or something bad happened.
Very true. I mean, you want him in San Diego as much as possible. If there's ever any bumps in the road, well, we'll take care of him here in El Paso.
There you go. Well, and that includes injuries and other things. So, yes, you are 100% right about that. And we'll wait and see. Hey, meanwhile, I'm back at it, Adrian. I've got a baseball game, that's starting up here in just a little bit, a 12U game, and I'm trying to get into the system to watch it, and I'm having no luck right now. It's been a little frustrating trying to get this game.
Okay, that's real frustrating to me, Steve, because if you're going to tell me that these games are on a streaming platform and they're not there on time, come on, man. You got to watch all the at-bats. I hear you.
I am with you on this. I'm trying to see what's going on. I'm trying to log in. Don't know why it's so difficult to me to log in this year. That's for sure. So, trying to do it. But when it's not. I don't know. Something weird's going on this year. Can't log in like I usually do. So, I feel like things have changed around the whole login process for Southwest Baseball. It's okay. I'll be there in 40 minutes. I feel like I, you know, haven't missed too much. Hey, let's catch up on everything else going on here sports-wise right now. The biggest story, obviously, is the Rays 13-0, tying the modern Major League Baseball record. You know, I want to know when it ends. Like, when? Here's my question is, you know, how many games will this team keep winning? I want to see them break the record, okay? They've tied the record. I want to see them at least win one, if not more, and maybe they can make 20. Who knows when this thing's going to stop?
Yeah, I feel like this team is just red hot right now. This is they're playing exceptional baseball. You know, contrary to what Lane was saying, being a little pessimistic of them for the rest of the season, this team battles back, and it was evident today in their game against Boston. I mean, it was a tight one early on. They're falling behind, and then they rally back to win in a big way, 9-3.
Yep, that's true. So I am looking forward to it. Meanwhile, Tim Haggerty will not be able to join us.
He will.
Oh,
he will. Just texted me right now.
Really?
An update, a quick update. He's got some IT team. We had a little technical difficulties out there. We'll have him back for a final countdown.
Well, here's Hags with a game preview for tonight.
Hi, I'm Tim Haggerty at Southwest University Park with this El Paso Margaritas game preview. Today, for the first time this season, the Chihuahuas are playing as the Margaritas with this new look margarita logo.
He has a margarita microphone flag. How is that even possible that they've, you know, we can't even get a 600 ESPN El Paso mic flag around here. And he's got a margarita flag that's attached to his microphone for this game preview. And he's got on a margarita polo. He looks terrific right now. Hags looks like he's all margarita'd up, ready to go.
Okay, I need to see this picture. I'm looking for it on my side because, first off, Steve, the margarita look is, oh, wow, this is exceptional.
It is exceptional.
Wow, this is awesome. You know what? I love the margarita logo itself, Steve, the strawberry margarita. They moved on from the previous margarita, which was traditional margarita last year.
That's right.
And now it's a strawberry twist. I like it.
The kids love it, too. They're all asking for the gear. They all want the gear. Hats, jerseys, all that. Here's the rest of the game preview from Hags.
Let's take a look at video from yesterday's day game. Wednesday, Chihuahuas against the Isotopes. El Paso third baseman Matthew Batten starting this 5-3 double play to end the top of the third inning. Albuquerque sent 9 batters to the plate in that third and scored 5 times. Here's the final score. 7-2 Albuquerque yesterday. Some strong performances by the Chihuahuas bullpen. Drew Carlton and Reese Kinnear both pitching scoreless outings out of the pen yesterday. So here are the East Division standings. El Paso's 4-7, and Albuquerque is 7-4. Time now for tonight's Beasley Mitchell & Company pitching matchup. Are tax and accounting problems coming out of left field these days? It's time to play in the big leagues and call up Beasley Mitchell & Company certified public accountants for accounting, taxation, and consulting services in El Paso and Las Cruces.
Hags has a great pitch for businesses. Let me say that. I don't know why, but listening to Hags talk about Beasley Mitchell & Company, I feel like that's like the 3-4-5 hitters in the game, don't you? The way he throws that pitch out there?
Yes, that was excellent.
How do more people not use Tim's voice during commercial work when the season's not going on?
That's a good point, Steve. You should voice some spots. We'll hit him up. We'll ask him to help us out over here.
Let's hear the final 20 seconds of this game preview.
Here are the pitchers tonight. El Paso left-hander Jay Groom makes his third start of the year, and Albuquerque's Jeff Criswell makes his third appearance and second start this season. The first pitch is at 6:35 p.m. tonight. 3 more games in the series after today. Thanks for watching this Margaritas game preview.
I love it. And it gives you that fake smile at the very end of the and by the way, we all do the fake grin. That's my when I used to do TV sportscasts, I always do that fake smile at the very end of my sportscast. That was the, I'm great to see all of you. We'll see you back next week. And this is a completely made-up grin. So I like that. I think that's, you know, Hags delivers. By the way, that was seen on the video board probably just a few minutes ago as we were getting ourselves ready to go for tonight's game at 6:30.
To not contradict you, Steve, I just have to give some facts here. Unfortunately, we're having more connection issues with Hags. We might have to go via a stream. We're dealing with technical difficulties back here, essentially.
On our side or on his side?
On
the other side.
Unfortunately,
it's okay.
At Southwest University Park. Albuquerque's dealing with the same thing right now, and so we'll make it work, but we're just going to have to deal with some things back here in the final countdown.
Oh, okay, that's fine. That's also why I played the Haggerty game preview, because I figured we weren't going to have Hags today for the final countdown. So if we can't have him with us, let's at least listen to him do his preview and then dissect it with a microscope as we're getting ready for the ballgame tonight. That was the whole plan anyway.
That's good. We were ready for plan B and C here in this scenario, Steve.
Okay, I like that. Hey, by the way, I got to ask you this question, okay? So Passover officially comes to an end tonight, right? It's like 8 nights, and, you know, this is where you don't eat leavened bread. So no pizzas, no pasta, no nothing like that. All right, I'm off the air in 18 minutes. I'm going right to Cloud View to go watch the end of Joel's baseball game. But afterwards, it's dinner time, and I have not eaten any kind of bread in any capacity since last Tuesday night. So my question is, what should the first meal be after not having this and trying to do my best observing the holiday for the last week or so? What would you recommend?
I have no clue. Your last meal.
No, I'm not planning on dying tonight. It's not my last meal. I'm just saying, what should the meal be after observing the holiday? Because again, this is my first chance to eat something with bread that I haven't had. So, what would you both recommend?
I think a burger. You have to go with a burger.
That's because you eat the bun, right? The bun would be the burger. That's a good suggestion. I haven't had a hamburger in quite a while, a lot longer than a week. So that's up there. Maybe go to Whataburger, buy the house, and get myself a burger. What about you, Adrian?
I just feel like you gotta treat yourself to some great za, especially after some baseball action, watching it. Get a nice pizza, and then you get to share with the family, too. Everybody's happy with something like that.
All right, so a burger and za are my two recommendations for tonight. I appreciate that from the two of you. Thank you both. That was great.
What are you leaning to, Steve?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm wide open. I am wide open. Because remember, it could be breaded chicken. Haven't had that. It could be, anything. It could be some, as you said, some za. We'll see what happens. It could be pasta. Who knows what's going to happen when it's all said and done? Or maybe I keep the whole healthy thing going. Maybe I do something like that. Maybe I eat some sushi tonight when I get off.
Gorditas?
Could be.
Something like that.
Yep, that's true. That is true. All right. Thank you both. Appreciate the tips on that. When we wrap it up, it'll be the final countdown coming up next. And get you out for Chihuahua's baseball here in about 15 minutes from now. First, though, let's go to Charlie 1 and get ourselves one last traffic update.